In this episode, I am talking about achieving closure. Is it possible? How do we do it? Stay tuned. What's up? This is Dominique Beaumonte, and you are listening to Season with Salt, the podcast. So, thank you all for listening to my podcast, first and foremost. This is episode 199, which means that it's likely that you're listening to this and you have listened to at least 100 or one of 198 of my previous episodes. I'm going to assume that and I'm going to tell you thank you. This episode is about getting closure. I'm not really sure. So I wrote some things down because I wanted to make sure that I said everything that was on my mind. I try not to make episodes that I don't kind of think through, but there are times when I just kind of hit play and just sit in front of my microphone and say whatever is on my mind. This is not one of those times because I wanted to make sure that I'm conveying to you what I envisioned I wanted to say, so I wrote it down, kind of, sort of. But anyway, I feel like I'm always doing like episodes about walking away from things or starting over or moving on. But it occurred to me that the older you get, and I'm 40-something, the more common it is to be presented with opportunities to reflect on your purpose and what it means for wherever you are in life. All the good books, from my perspective, these days that are out are about launching and starting fresh and retooling and making sense of a mess. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of books that talk about healing from things that you left behind. And I feel like I come in contact with people every day that are wrestling with the trauma of their past, whether they brought that into their intimate relationships, their working relationships, they're wrestling with something from the past, whether they know it or not. And in my own reflection, I realized that it's easier to navigate what we mean when we say closure within the context of an intimate relationship, but it can be more difficult to navigate closure when we're talking about leaving a job or retiring after a long career, or becoming an empty nester because your kids move out, or losing a close friend, you know, somebody that you're not necessarily intimate with, but somebody that you were close friends with, or even terming out of a leadership position, whether that be a community leadership position, a church leadership position, a professional leadership position. So I'm thinking about closure within that context. I'm currently going through a major transition in one of those areas. I won't say which one, but people who know me probably know which one. One of these days, I'm going to probably write a book about the last 100 days of my life. But anyway, I'm not going to overindulge in that at this particular time because I don't want to get sued, or, you know, life is crazy. Anyway, so let me just read you this quote from a licensed social worker and chief clinical officer, Sal Reichbach. And this person is from the Haven Health Management. He or she, because I don't know who, what the person's gender is, because I can't tell. I'm going to assume it's a gentleman, said, closure is that feeling of completeness and finality that comes with the end of a relationship. So he imagines or identifies closure as a feeling, which is interesting, as a feeling. And some of the ways that he suggests that we achieve closure or feel like we could be moving toward closure is by getting answers to unanswered questions, making sense of why something happened. And I retooled some of these just because in my own reflection. It could be accepting something that happened. That can be very difficult, right? Because a lot of times we're in such denial about it that we haven't even processed, like, we know it happened, but we haven't accepted it. So closure could be accepting something that we are aware happened, but coming to terms with the fact that, you know what, it is what it is. It could be being able to go extended times without thinking of the situation or of the person. Closure could be learning from the situation and experiencing measurable self-growth. I think the thing that I have been wrestling with is how we attain real closure without the support or connection or obligation of the person or the system that we left or that left us or that we moved from. I feel like sometimes when we hear about closure, it's always we reacquainted ourselves with the problem. We ran into an old ex and talked about the highs and lows of our relationship. We somehow got somebody explained why they did something. And in hindsight, we were able to make sense of it. Most of the time when people are talking about closure, they're talking about the closure that they got as a result of some interaction with whatever they closed out with. But again, I'm wrestling with, what is closure when the closure is just about you, right? How do we get closure even if we don't have the apology or the recognition or the system or the person doesn't provide an explanation for why they did what they did? In my particular situations, I felt like there were opportunities, but I also realized that because I don't control the system or the group or the people that would be able to help me achieve collaborative closure, that I'm doing more harm to myself by waiting on somebody else to help me bring something to close or to closure And I just need to start that process on my own. And I feel like it's a gift when we come to that realization early that I actually need to begin the process of moving forward with or without whoever or whatever. And I might not get my feelings validated. I might not be rewarded or affirmed for my contribution. I might not ever get the acknowledgement that I was right or even that I was wrong. I might not get an explanation for why and how it happened, but I have to begin the process of moving on. You know, it's really hard because sometimes we feel like people and systems owe us and are moving on, are growing past things, are contingent upon people doing what we believe that they owe us. And it's almost like being in prison because sometimes the people and the systems that we think owe us don't even have the capacity to pay us back, don't have the capacity to tell the truth, don't have the capacity to say, or even to explain why something happened, right? So I done got off because I got away from my notes because I just started reflecting. So it's almost like we can be held hostage by this expectation that closure has to be collaborative, and it doesn't. It doesn't. So here are some of the things that I have been thinking about that have been helpful to me in this season. Some of them are like affirmations. Some of them are realizations. Some of them are just me coming to terms with specifically what's going on in my situation. But I'm hoping, my prayer is that they will be helpful to you. The first thing is, and I'm reading this because I want to make sure that I say it in the way that it came to me or in the way that I am holding myself accountable. The first thing is that we have to decide, or let me read it how I wrote it. Decide what you can and cannot own. You cannot own other people's actions and choices. Reflect only on what you feel you can do better next time. But don't hold yourself accountable for what you cannot change or people that you cannot change. And sometimes, so there's a process that I think we all go through, especially if you're self-reflective. And sometimes it can be harmful. We can be harmful to ourselves because we're trying to take responsibility for something that we may have done to have gotten ourselves in a situation. And sometimes it has nothing to do with us, even though it's about us or even though it involves us. And so one of the things that I think is really, really important is separating what happened to you from what you did or didn't do. Because you can victimize yourself and then you have this internal struggle where not only do you have to forgive a system or a person that is unavailable, but you have to navigate like your own disappointment, if that makes sense. Like you got to figure out, and you can't rectify it, right? Like you can't go backwards and change, and you're just assuming that you did something wrong or that you could have done something different and you don't know. So you cannot be imprisoned by what you cannot control, but you also can't be a prisoner of your own self-criticism. Like you gotta release yourself from trying to make the unknown personal, if that makes sense. Because if you don't, even if you do reconcile or reconnect with somebody else down the line or that system down the line, like, you still are in this war with forgiveness for yourself, and it might not even been anything that you did or said or could control. Okay, I wrote down 6 things, so that was the first thing. The second thing is, we have to choose the good. What are the best parts of what you survived? And it's so interesting. Okay, somebody's in my pursuit of closure in a particular area, somebody reached out to me to affirm me, and I hadn't really taken the time to talk about the experience that I had. And I wrestled with wanting to fully expose what happened to this particular person, and I alluded to it, but I didn't over engage. And the person, and this is after I wrote this, and I'm just realizing this as I'm having this conversation with you, the person told me exactly what I've written down. Choose the good. What are the best parts of what you survived? Did you learn anything about yourself? Did you make a close friend? Did you walk away with collateral or an experience or a skill that you didn't have before? Do you have a child from the scenario? Do you have a best friend that you didn't have before? Sometimes we can be so overwhelmed by what we no longer have or what we miss that we cannot even see the good. And there's always more good than anything. Sometimes it takes a lot of time to come to that realization. It don't happen overnight. Sometimes you can't see the good because you are so overwhelmed with the reality that the good is foreign, right? But you have to see the good, and you have to invite yourself into the process of finding the good. Maybe you don't do that on day one, but maybe on day two you make a list. And maybe on day 16 you reflect on the list. And maybe as you come in contact with the good, you make note of that thing, right? So you can't control the past, but you have something left over from it that can be meaningful for you. So that's number two. Number three, how can you discontinue the influence of whatever or whomever harmed you? That's really important, because sometimes, you know, you've been in a situation where, like, you're easily triggered, the thought of a person, the mention of their name, like, causes you to go back into, like, your memory vault, and you start picking up things, like, you start reliving occasions, and you start trying to make sense of things in your mind, and you realize that you're wasting time because you can't redeem something that has already happened. But there are some things that we do to allow whatever we left or whatever we were trying to get closure from to live rent-free, right? We let it exist because we don't know how to turn it off, or we don't know how to let it go. And honestly, the first thing that we have to do is realize, you know, it's like you came through a very difficult relationship and you're healing from it, and you have a friend or a loved one who is going through a similar situation, And it's easy for them to make reflection about similarities between the two. Oh, nope, I don't want to hear it. Like, I don't, let's just talk about you. We don't got to relive. We don't got to, we got to bring up my past to work through yours, right? Or maybe you left the job and people are still there and they call you. I had a job one time and I had a tumultuous end. This is like 10, 12 years ago. It was the job that, if you listen to this podcast, you've heard me talk about just the Lord telling me to leave. And I left. Like I the Lord gave me a dream. He revealed some things to me. I put in my notice, and without a plan, I moved on. I didn't have anybody in that situation who I spoke to after the situation was over. And that probably was for the best, because it really helps me to heal quicker. But I'll tell you what also helps to bring closure to that season of my life, because I probably needed somebody to process that season. Like, I left, I walked out of that. I didn't want to go, you know, the going away celebration. I didn't have any of that. I waited until everybody was gone and went to clean my office, and I walked out of there. And for the most part, I never spoke to any of those people again. And a few of the people, like, I followed on social media, or, you know, I seen choices that they were making in life. And for me, it was just most healthy to just move on. What blessed me over time was when people in that situation were able to find their own freedom and to find their own peace, and they reached out to me, not on some negative stuff, they reached out to me to say, you know what, I never got to tell you this because you left and you were gone, but we were inspired by the way that you said enough is enough, and you took a risk and left and didn't look back. And ultimately, we got the courage to do the same thing, and we just want to tell you thank you. That meant more to me than somebody calling me every day to tell me what the lady did or what happened. It actually, I would run into people in the at Starbucks in different cities and places from that job and reflect on how I never wanted to punch or, and I would, when I would run into these people, I would think, like, the measuring stick of my growth is how I project my feeling about that chapter in my life. And I never, early on, I might say something crazy, but, like, as the time went on, I was really able to be, I had a new joy because I knew that God removed me from that and he was preparing me for something else. So there was no reason to be, you know. So I didn't let those people control me even after they were out of my life. I took their names out of my phone. I didn't follow them nowhere. I didn't ask how they were doing or what they were doing. And I'm not saying that they were like nobody to me or they're dead to me. I'm not going that far. I'm just saying that to protect myself, my heart, my spirit, I didn't go re-looking at their LinkedIn to see where I didn't do none of that. When I was gone, I was gone. And sometimes that can be hard depending on how much you've invested in a situation, a relationship, an organization, a season. Like, sometimes it can be hard to do that. But there's a reward to doing that that will bless you in the long term. Now, this is not about intimate relationships. Like, I really have not had a relationship with someone, literally anybody that I have ever dated or been in a relationship with. I probably do follow on Facebook or Instagram. I'm not the type of person that, like, has a bad vibe or that. Now, somebody might not like me. Hey, that's their business. But I have never been the type of person who like is a manages nasty breakups. That's not my life. But I've also not created cantankerous endings in my intimate relationships. Now, my professional situations, that's going to be a whole nother book. That's a part of what I'm talking about right now. Okay? So that's just about being careful about the space that you give people, the influence that you give people, like a lot, the space that you allow people to take up in your heart and your mind. You don't got to. And you have to be intentional. That's a part of that work to bring closure, is that you cannot let people run your life after they have ran your life, you know? Number four, so that was number three. Number four is, where's their space to dream and to hope? What are you dreaming about? What are you hoping about? And have you created that space to do that? Irregardless of what happened, or yesterday, or last month, or have you taken the seasons of my life that have been, I mean, I talked about leaving that professional scenario that I had 10 years ago, and it was about, you know, 4 months that I did not work. And I look back at those seasons of life, and there was so much joy and happiness, and it wasn't about money because I didn't have none in that season. I had started seminary, but it was the freedom to like look at yourself in the mirror when you wake up in the morning and be like, what are you going to do today? Like, whatever you do today is going to determine who you are. I think I drove for Postmates to make extra money, and I put everything that I had into that. I would be designing like little squares to send to people to say, thank you for choosing me to deliver your food. Like, it was really minute, but it was something that I cared about. That's how I found joy in that season. And I think that closure is not just about closing up what happened, but it's also beginning something new and giving yourself room to not be a victim of what happened, but giving yourself, not just be a victim of what happened, but giving yourself room to project into the future. So that's number four. Number five is, what did you have before that you didn't lose? What did you have before that you didn't lose? What did you have before that you didn't lose? What did you lose in the process that you can get now? What can you get back? And then number six is, what can you prioritize while you're in your healing season? It's not all about what you can ignore or where you can avoid or what you can work not to think about. It's about what you can prioritize. And what is most important sometimes in our pursuit of closure is, what did I forsake in the previous season that I can redeem now? What didn't I have time to do that was important to me that I can do now while I'm in this healing season? And how can I get back to me? How can I get to a place where I'm whole enough not to get in similar situations, because I have enough experience now to know or see red flags? And being whole has everything to do with coming to terms with what it takes to be the best version of yourself and not being a victim of what you can't control, but deciding how to move forward, what to prioritize. This is a quote I want to read from Ellen Goodman. Here's what Ellen says. There's a trick to the graceful exit. It begins with the vision to recognize when a job, a life stage, or a relationship is over, and then simply let it go. It means leaving what's over without denying its validity or its past importance to our lives. It involves a sense of future, a belief that every exit line is an entry, that we are moving up rather than moving out. My girl Yanla said something very similar. I don't know if you rock with her or not, but this is what she said. Speak and live in simple sentences. Bring closure. Put a period to those experiences that you don't want to carry on forever and ever. Use commas in those spaces where you're still growing. And use exclamation points at the end of every lesson. I love that. So, closure is a process. It doesn't have to include other people. It can be all about you. It takes inner strength that sometimes you find that you don't know you have. The best thing that you can do in the process of moving on or creating or closure in your life is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to have a life of prayer, because you need to be able to talk some of the things that you experience through with a higher power. I think therapy is important. I think journaling and spending time with people who care about you, who are committed to your wholeness as a person, is important. I think doing things that you love are important. I think finding new things to love, equally important. I think being careful who you center yourself in, where you center yourself at, is important. I think you have to be careful not to be taken advantage of by systems that know you're vulnerable when you're in a space where you're trying to create closure in your life. And I think you just have to be intentional and serious about it. Period. I want to say a word of prayer for those that are still listening. Father, thank you, first of all, for this platform, the privilege to talk to people about things that you put on my heart to talk about, and then the honor that the listener bestows upon me when they listen. I pray, God, that you will bless what has been said, that it would be seed in good ground, that it would be fruitful to the person who hears it, that the result of their hearing would be a changed mind, a changed attitude, a changed way of thinking. And I pray, God, that whatever you've sown into their heart will grow into something that helps them to be whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Season.